Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
While everyone's talking about AI replacing people, smart companies know the real opportunity is using AI to make their people better. Lattice is the HR platform where people and AI succeed together, helping every employee grow, every manager lead, and every company achieve greater success. Let's build a people-powered future. No regrets. Visit lattice.com/no regrets. That's LATTICE.com/no regrets.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, November 20th, episode 98 in this podcast. Today we get into six topics. Fresh drama in Philadelphia, where Joel Embiid's work ethic is being questioned. We'll talk about the comments made by Tyrese Maxey, and is this what can get Joel Embiid and the 76ers going? Next, after a performance of 37 points and LeBron James speaking to the media about it, we'll talk about the play of Dalton Kincaid, who's put together four really good games, is elevating himself for the rookie of the year race, and how his shooting can help the Lakers. Next, we preview my favorite games on Friday for the NBA Cup, with Indiana taking on Milwaukee, Portland taking on Houston. Imagine me saying that before the NBA Cup started. Dallas versus Denver and Sacramento versus the Clippers. Next, we head to the college game. And now what Eric Rodal's name is taking over at Villanova. We will talk about, does this mean, is Kyle Neptune in trouble since the AD that just got hired didn't pick Kyle as the coach? Next, we'll go take a look at a big game on Friday night as Duke will take on Arizona. And then lastly, I will give you my thoughts as next week starts Feast Week. We'll take a look at the odds for both the battle for Atlantis and the Maui Invitational, both of those two tournaments will begin early next week. Let's get started in the NBA in Philadelphia, where there is drama in Philadelphia. There were some interesting comments made by Shams Charania about Joel Embiid. Simply put, it came from after a team meeting after the Sixers lost, I do believe, to the Miami Heat to drop them to 2-11. Basically, in so many words, he said on the Pat McAfee show last night, the 76ers had a team meeting, and I was told Tyrese Maxey challenged Joel Embiid. He told them, "We need you to be on time for team activities." Tyrese loves Joel, but he delivered a message that I think a lot of people saw coming. This is a Joel Embiid, folks, that was injured at the end of last year, was compromised. And instead of him staying home and resting that knee, he went and he represented Team USA. Well, then if you're representing Team USA, then you got to be ready to go by training camp. And he wasn't ready to go. And he just has played only three games. We'll see if he plays in the game Wednesday night, tonight. Remember, this is Wednesday afternoon that we're recording this. And we'll see if Joel Embiid plays tonight at Memphis. But this brings up an interesting point here of who called out Joel Embiid. And that's Tyrese Maxey. And there is a good way and a bad way to look at what Tyrese Maxey did. One, he showed leadership. He showed the ability as a point guard, as a guard, to look at the face of the franchise. And literally, let's be honest, he checked him. He absolutely checked him. And he checked his dedication to the team. And he checked his dedication to winning a championship in Philadelphia, a championship they have not had since 1983. But then you start thinking about the fact that Tyrese Maxey is 24 years old. So my thought is, where are the adults in the room? Where are the guys? guys that should be checking Joel Embiid? Well, let's start with Daryl Morey, who's the GM of the 76ers. Let's go on to Nick Nurse, someone I consider to be one of the top five coaches in the NBA. But what about some of these veteran guys that have been around the block? A Paul George at the age of 34 years old that's been in the league for a long time. And Eric Gordon trying to win a ring at 35. Kyle Lowry, champion pedigree at 38. Why is it that the 24-year-old superstar is the one checking a guy that is making $50 million a year, is often injured, and is the face of the franchise? See, that's my concern with Philadelphia. It's not the fact that Tyrese Maxey did it. I loved it. But it's who did it. And that brings up an interesting point with Philadelphia. The thought with Philadelphia always was going to be, were they going to be healthy? And obviously, with Maxey being hurt, trying to get his way back from injury, Joel Embiid missing the beginning of the year, same thing with Paul George. We're not talking about physical health now. We're talking about mental health. Joel Embiid, if Philadelphia is going to win a championship, has got to not only be engaged physically as being healthy, he's got to show leadership. So I think this is a critical part of the 76ers season right now at 2-11 and a team that has lost four straight games, right? And look at the fact that they have at Memphis Wednesday, Brooklyn Friday, Clippers home Sunday, Houston home Wednesday, and then at Detroit, at Charlotte. They got a good window here where they could flip this season really quick. Now, six straight wins would only put them, you know, at 8-11. But 8-11, you know, is way better, you know, than 5-14, right? So I'm curious to see what happens with Philadelphia. I think this is the little bit of the you-know-what kicking that maybe Joel Embiid needs. And I want to shout out Tyrese Maxey as a 24-year-old superstar who wasn't afraid to look at the big fella and say, we need you. Not just healthy, but on time, taking it seriously because I want to win a champion. Shout out to Tyrese Maxey for getting that done and saying that. Let's move on to a team in the Western Conference and the Los Angeles Lakers. A Lakers team that I thought did a really, I think a good job in going getting J.J. Redick. I know there was concerns about J.J. Redick and bringing him in with someone that had no, you know, head coaching, or I shouldn't say head coaching, any kind of coaching experience. But folks, the Lakers are 10-4. And a big reason for that as of late, folks, has been the play of Dalton Knecht. Knecht, last night, had himself a game, folks, scoring 37 points, hitting 9 three-pointers, which tied a rookie record, scored 22 straight points for the Lakers. And then basically LeBron James said, and I quote, everybody on the internet called me a liar all the time. What am I now? Question mark. I've said it. I've watched Tennessee a lot. I did not think he was going to follow us. I had no idea that happened, but I'm very grateful and happy he's right here now. And he basically said that 16 teams or GMs messed up. And this is interesting you talk about this because when we did the NBA draft, myself, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, we talked about how good a Dalton Knecht player was. Folks, we thought Dalton Knecht was going in the top 10 because when it came out to flat-out shooting, there was no one better than Dalton Knecht. And the problem that you have, folks, when you get into the NBA is when you play in the NBA too long, I mean the college too long, they consider it to be damaged goods, right? Because what they look at the NBA, they look at projection. Like, if you're young, where are you going to be in 3 or 4 years instead of what you can do right now? Dalton Knecht was the perfect fit for the Lakers. Simply put, folks, they need shooters. So when you talk about the ability of LeBron James having to be able to drive the ball in gaps, right, to get kick-out opportunities, right, for Anthony Davis who could play in the low post or even in the mid post and be able to attack people off the bounce, the important thing that comes down to them is they need guys that can knock down shots. And right now, one reason why the Lakers are playing so well is their three-point shooting. Now, look at the sample size. Some of them are not big. Some of them are not. Dalton Connect, folks, is connecting at 46.4% from three. Folks, he's shooting 51% from three this month. That's a big difference. That's why Dalton Connect is going double figures his last four games, because of his ability to shoot from three. Rui Hachimura making almost two threes a game at 50%. LeBron shooting at 41.6. I mean, Austin Reeves, not great, but shooting it at 37%. This is why I thought Dalton Connect also was going to be a good addition, because he's being coached by one of the greatest shooters in the last 25 years, and J.J. Redick. And this is a guy that hunted shots. This is a guy who knocked down shots at a wildly successful rate, and he has been a good thing for Dalton Connect. And I think we have to start giving our flowers to the job that J.J. Redick has done for this team. If Dalton, and listen, I'm not saying Dalton Connect's going to shoot the ball 46% from three for the season, because folks, that would be absolutely absurd numbers. You got to remember, you know, that Dalton Connect, you know, never shot it any higher than 39.7% from college. Remember, this last year at Tennessee, shot it at 39.7. But if he could be at 40% from three, 41% from three, and be that stretch guard that can knock down shots, that's something to look out for in the future. Shout out to Dalton Connect and his three-point shooting, which has been really key for the Lakers. Let's move on to four games I'm looking at just to give you some thoughts. Remember, folks, I do have my high five, which is exclusively on the Sports Grid app, which I give my plays. Look for those plays for some of these games and all NBA Cup games coming up on Friday night. But really quick, just want to kind of go over four matches. First off, two teams that have struggled mightily, and that's the Pacers and the Bucks. This is a matchup of teams that really don't like each other going into last year. And we saw what, obviously, Indiana did to them, knocking them out of the playoffs. Obviously, they were banged up. You know, this is a game where I'm looking really at Tyrese Halliburton, because when I look at Milwaukee, I attack whoever is the point guard or the scoring guard on that team, on the opposite team, because I just don't think Damian Lillard and those guys, Gary Trent, are not doing a good enough a job defensively. So right off the bat, thing where you want to look at is it Tyrese Halliburton's points or Halliburton points plus assists? Some kind of combination like that, you should be on your betting window, as I expect Tyrese to have a big game. Second game, sneaky good game, right? The Blazers versus the Rockets. Now, to me, I've talked about this a little bit, is the importance, I think, on I did this last night on In-Game Live, talking to Dave Sharapan and Scotty Wetzel. The importance of these NBA Cup games for these young teams. Teams that are either, one, trying to start a winning culture, or two, springboard them into a playoff run. And this is what you have right here. Got to remember, folks, Portland beat the Timberwolves at home, right, on last Tuesday. And the turnaround beat them again on Wednesday. So Chauncey Billups has got this team playing really hard basketball and looking a lot better than what we thought. But, folks, the job that Ime Udoka has done in Houston is showing why Ime Udoka, despite his transgressions and how he behaves off the floor, is one of the 10 best coaches in the NBA right now. This team is 10-5. They're playing really well. They're 2-0 in the NBA Cup. And if you look at their schedule and who they have played and who they have beaten, they beat Memphis by 20. They had a tight loss to Golden State. They got a win at Dallas. They got a home win versus New York. They got almost a 30-point win versus the Spurs. Two wins versus the Clippers. They just beat Chicago 143-107 on Sunday, and on a back-to-back, lost to Milwaukee by one. This team defends, and they defend at a high level. So when you're looking at this game, look for the Rockets to lock in defensively. I would be looking at the team total under for the Portland Trailblazers and the Rockets to get the win and the cover. I like them before the year to make the playoffs, and they're making me look pretty smart. Sometimes I don't, but for this one, I do so far. Next up, Dallas-Denver. You know, a Denver team that's dealt with injuries, right? You know, obviously, to Aaron Gordon has been injured. You know, the best player on the planet, Nikola Jokic, has missed some games. You know, so this becomes a big game here versus Dallas. And, you know, we'll see if Nikola gets back by Friday. But you look at a Dallas team at 8-7, you know, they're kind of just lying in the weeds here. And you look at it, and I told people, when I looked at the division, that I thought that the Rockets were going to be a sneaky good team along with Memphis. This is going to be a good division, folks. The only team that's really struggling and playing way below what they thought, in my opinion, was New Orleans. And it has to do with the fact more with injuries than anyone else. By the way, Alfred Payton just signed today with New Orleans because they need point guard help really bad with DeJounte Murray out. But to me, this is a really good matchup here. To me, it's all going to depend on Nikola Jokic if he's available. If Nikola Jokic is available, then it's going to probably be I'm going to look at Denver. If not, we're going to look at Dallas. And obviously, I'll give my picks closer to Friday afternoon when we know who's in. Last matchup, Kings-Clippers. This is a division in which every team in the Pacific is over 500. And these two teams are in last place. But they're in last place, folks, and they're three games out. So it's not too late for them to make a run. And in that group A, if you figure Portland loses, right, and they go to 1-1, you know, now you look at a situation where Sacramento and the Clippers both could get themselves to 1-1. And then in the case of obviously Sacramento, they still get a chance to play Houston with, you know, controlling their own destiny to win that group. Got to remember that already Houston beat the Clippers. So that's going to be a big game. And I think a big game for Sacramento, a Sacramento team, folks, remember, that has had the injury bug, that has had De'Aaron Fox obviously been absolutely fantastic. But, you know, Sabonis has missed some games. You have to look at DeMar DeRozan has missed games. So let's see if those guys come back. Also, Malik Monk, he was just cleared for basketball activity. So let's see if all those guys get themselves back for Friday. So really quickly, we're looking at Tyrese Halliburton points or points plus assists. We're looking at the Trailblazers team total under Rockets to cover the spread. We're looking at Denver if the Joker plays. We'll go with the Mavericks if he doesn't. And then I like the Kings on the money line to get the win at the Clippers. Let's move on to the college game really quickly here. And Eric Rodal just got named AD at Villanova. Why do I bring this up? Because you guys know that I've had a problem dealing and knowing what's going on with Villanova for 2 years. You got to remember, folks, Villanova does – I guess we don't call it 1AA anymore, but their sport is basketball. They're in the Big East. They're a high-profile program. And I just don't know, regardless of what Kyle Neptune did against Penn, in which Wugar Poplar didn't even start because he couldn't get his damn behind to a meeting on time, it's a point where we got to look at how long will Eric go on with Kyle Neptune. The team is 3-3. They're wildly, wildly inconsistent. Which team are they? Are they the team that you know beat Penn by almost 40, right? Or 50? Or is this a team that lost to Billy Lang for a second straight year in St. Joe's? Is this a team that lost to an interim head coach in Virginia? Is this a team that lost to my guy Jimmy Engels in Columbia on game number 2? They got to figure it out. You got to remember, especially with Eric Dixon leaving, right? And obviously, one of their star freshmen, I've got to see this kid play, the Hodge kid out of St. Rose, who got named ineligible to NCAA. By the way, way to go, NCAA. Way to wait till right before the game. The kid got his transcript in months ago. a long time ago, and this poor kid's being held ineligible by the NCAA, the biggest gangsters out there. But losing Hodge hurts this team as well. We'll see what happens here, but I got to say this. Eric Rodal did not bring Kyle Neptune in. And they gave this guy a second year. If Kyle Neptune has this team near the bottom of the Big East Conference, with the NIL money that they have at their disposal, I'm saying it. Kyle Neptune's going to have to be let go. And I don't like saying it. I think Kyle's a great guy. I think he means well. But this is not going well for them in Villanova. So I think he's got to have to be in the top half of the Big East, and he's got to turn this thing around quick. Or they're going to be looking for a new head coach, and you start to wonder where they go. Villanova's got a lot of endowment money, so they can pay this guy out. They can also go pay and get a big-time coach. We wonder if that's what they do. Kyle Neptune's got to turn it around, especially with a new AD. Big matchup on Friday night as Duke takes on Arizona here in Tucson. If you look at the kind of what these teams look like against the spread, Duke 3-1 against the spread, Arizona 1-2 against the spread. And then you look at the average over-under of their games being 147.3 for Duke and 156.5 for Arizona. So when you look at these teams, you know, what am I thinking as a coach? Where can I find value? Folks, I'm going to be looking at the total here. I think you have two teams that are extremely gifted offensively that could score a lot off the bounce. And we'll kind of see what that leads to here, right? You know, when you think about, you know, some metrics of how to look at teams, Duke is 45th in effective field goal shooting percentage. If you look at Arizona, you know, where are they in field goal shooting percentage? You know, they're 182, but they have Caleb Love, one of the star, you know, guards in the country that can really get his shot off of anyone. You know, you could start looking at other factors like possessions per game. Do these teams, you know, get up and down the floor? You know, Duke 162, middle of the pack. You know, Arizona 21. So Arizona's going to want to push the pace. So if you have a team that pushes the pace versus a team that can push the pace if needed, you got to look at that total. It'll be interesting to see where they hang that at, right? Do they kind of middle that, kind of get to about a 150 or so? But it'll be interesting to see what takes place. Really good matchup between Duke and Arizona. Duke kind of failed himself that last big spot against Kentucky. I just think this seems a little bit better. I'm probably going to go with Duke. Let's see what the line is coming on Friday. I'll have that on my scouting report. Really quickly, Feast Week starts next week. So we want to look really quick at the odds. First off, for the Battle of Atlantis, which Gonzaga's at plus 135. There is Arizona plus 180. Indiana 6-1, 10-1 for Louisville, 17-1 for Oklahoma, and in Providence, Kim English's team steps in at 25-1. And to me, I'm looking at Gonzaga. This team is so dynamic offensively, what Mark Few's done with this team. You know, I know it's kind of chalky where I'm going with this, but they've looked really, really good scoring the ball. So I think when you look at it, I know, you know, plus 135 doesn't look like, you know, a bargain, but it still is plus money. What they did to Baylor was flat out criminal opening night with that 101-63 win. But, you know, to have that front court of Graham Ike and Braden Huff has been really something to watch, and it's really been pretty impressive what we've seen out of Gonzaga so far. Graham Ike to transfer. So to me, you know, Khalif Battle getting you a 14.3, Nembhard at 12.8, right? Hickman 11.5. Ike has done a great job. I should say a transfer because, you know, Graham has been there, was there last year. But let's go ahead and let's take Gonzaga plus 135 to go ahead and win the Battle for Atlantis. Really quickly, Maui Invitational, UConn plus 170, Auburn plus 310, UNC 4-1, Iowa State plus 430, Michigan State 13-1, Memphis 30-1. This is just dynamite. I mean, this is dynamite. You can literally say this, any one of these four teams can win this whole thing. But when you think about experience and youth, and you think about coaching, and think about teams that have to play 3 games in 3 days, you got to be mentally tough. You got to be well-conditioned. And you got to be able to grind it down, especially in the defensive end. So that's why I like UConn. You know, they played last night. They won by 35 points. And Dan Hurley ripped his team in a press conference. Boy, I would not want to be those UConn Husky kids today at practice. They're probably still running sprints for what they did last night. So I like UConn plus 170. If I want to go another way, go with Iowa State plus 430. Teams that got to play 3 days in a row have to rely on defense. And I know Bruce Pearl's team is plus 310, and they're intriguing. But to me, UConn, Iowa State, those would be the two teams I would look at, but more money on UConn to win this. I think they, I told you before, I think they're going to win a national championship. And I know I talked about this last night. Shout out to Gino Auriemma. Gino, by the time you hear this podcast tomorrow morning, should have broken Tara Vanderveer's record for most wins, men or women, at the Division I level. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, number 98 for November 20th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about the couple of those games in the battle for Atlantis and also the games in the Maui Invitational. We'll also look at the new league, folks, the Unrivaled, the 3-on-3 league started by Nafisha Kali and Brianna Stewart. They picked their teams. I want to talk a little bit about this because I think this is a really smart move to capitalize on women's basketball. They have 2 wildcard slots. Can they get Caitlin Clark to play, which would be absolutely huge? For my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who does a great job with the graphics, thank you for listening, folks, as always. And always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid tonight.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.